On ABC Radio Hobart, it's Breakfast with Rick Goddard.
If you ever dealt with the health system, you know it can be so hard to be heard or even understood what they're saying. Rachel Callender is a TEDx presenter and author, and is someone who has dealt a lot with training health professionals and how to communicate with patients. Hello.
Hi, Rick. So nice to be here in Hobart. It's my first time.
Great to have you here from Timaru.
Thank you.
hey, how did you get into this space?
I was thrown into it the moment my daughter was born. I'm actually a photographer by trade and started in my own wedding and portrait photography business in New Zealand 10 years ago. But when she was born with a very rare chromosome condition, and I'd never heard of chromosome conditions before. But what really struck me was the moment the doctors were telling us about this diagnosis, and the language that was used was really not only terrifying and confusing, but deficit focused and really negative. So they used words like mentally retarded and defective and abnormal and subtractive and these words, you know.
This is how far after you've given birth?
This was the morning after, when they kind of had a bit of an idea of maybe what was going on. She was kind of whisked away in an emergency situation after she was born, and then this was the first I was hearing about what was going on with Evie. So it was really confusing, and they use words I'd never heard of. Her actual condition is partial trisomy 9 and partial monosomy 6. So I'd never heard what a trisomy was or a monosomy. And it's actually a duplication and a deletion of those two chromosomes. Yeah. So really, really traumatic time, really interesting. They didn't have any definitive answers. And again, that confused me, because I expected the doctors to know everything, which I think puts a lot of pressure on them, you know. And I learned gradually over time that once I could treat them as a human being with limited knowledge, then they became kinder and softer. But I needed that respect and my knowledge to be respected as well.
Isn't that interesting? So there's really two sides to this communication.
Definitely.
The experience you describe is one I've heard so many times from parents going, well, we knew nothing about what that was, and now we're experts.
Yeah.
It's seeing, we expect these doctors to be amazing people.
Yeah.
But I know if you've ever socialised with anyone, they're just people.
They're just humans doing their best. They don't want to go to work to do a bad job. None of them do. But it's a combination of their training, often doesn't deal with how to deliver this kind of news in a way that really lands or gives them an opportunity to really be themselves in that space. It can be quite clinical. And also they do need, they're so immersed in their own kind of language that it's really difficult to translate it for a parent in the moment.
And often it's tempting, I mean, this happens in this job as well, where if there's a big emotion, you just go to the details. You'll hear male presenters particularly go, and how many of them were there? And were there four doors, or was the door red?
Yeah.
Not like, how's that feeling now?
No, it's very details focused, very factual, and kind of as many facts as possible. So the poor parent is kind of bamboozled with an overload of information.
Is there any way to do it better? Because they've still got to do that.
Yeah, there is a way to do it better, and that's where my work is evolving now, is empowering health professionals in that space to be the best that they can, and to kind of create positive relationships with the parents and the patients they're working with, and at the same time for the parents to empower them to not be afraid to ask questions and to kind of take responsibility for their own learning in a way that's sustainable. So it's I use the analogy, you know, it is like learning a new language, and you have to do it slowly and little bits at a time.
Do you see that changing as the medical professions become more gender balanced, but also as you're dealing with millennials who are in a world, or you know, where of course they're expecting you to Google stuff, whereas older doctors are like, well, don't look at Google. Yeah. I'm the authority. Is it changing?
Yeah, I think that's a big contributor. And also there's a groundswelling of a movement of compassion and kindness in healthcare that's really growing, which is super exciting. I was at a conference in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago called Compassion Revolution. And it's just incredible, just these heartfelt doctors and nurses and everyone in the health system really using this open-hearted, human-to-human kind of hospitality-focused approach to communication.
It's why most of them go in.
I think so. That's how they start.
Not all. Like, a lot of them just go in for the Audi and three houses, but that's why most of them go in.
I know. They're deeply caring, beautiful humans that are suffering as well from not being able to care as well as they need to, or the time constraint and the system is kind of hurting everybody at the moment. And yeah, so it's kind of, how do you place strategies in terms of communication for the health professionals so they can get across the information that they need without isolating and re-traumatizing the parent at the same time?
You created a book that celebrates children with chromosomal or genetic conditions, which is so beautiful and reminds me, in fact, of a book that Ron Frank's guy here did called Snapshot, Celebrating Our Community, Superpower Baby Project. Yeah. So what was this?
So the Superpower Baby Project was inspired by my late daughter, Evie. I started to notice when she was around 2 years old that she was experiencing life a little differently to other people. I believe she had an electromagnetic sensitivity, so every time we went through sliding doors or underneath electrical pylons when we were driving, she'd start crying like a little switch went off. So I started thinking that she was like a baby X-Men off Magneto or something.
Yeah, that'd get you heaps of attention.
Mm-hmm. So then I thought about her character and all the things she was teaching me, and I thought that, you know, everything about her is really unique and really profound, and she's a beautiful, valuable human. But I never got to express those things about her, because every time I walked down the street, you know, people would look at her and go, oh, what's wrong with your child? What's wrong with her? And then I'd have to rattle off all the list. Well, she can't talk, she can't walk, she's got this crazy condition that no one can pronounce. And I'd kind of glaze over and walk away, and I'd be left in this space of feeling like I'd really let Evie down because I hadn't shared all of her magical, beautiful qualities. But with this newfound language and mentality, I was able to flip that whole conversation and say, look, nothing's wrong with her. She's got superpowers. And then that asked me, you know, well, what do you mean? And then I got to share everything that I loved about Evie. And it just flipped the attitude, you know, and in that moment, that stranger saw a human being, because I had described a human being rather than a collection of failing body parts. So it's all about our perception of how we treat people who are different to us.
To be honest, I think most people could probably just treat themselves
exactly
like that, and not a collection of failing body parts. Good morning if your joints were creaky getting out of bed. Did you think about the bits that are still working? You know.
Yeah.
Is that, do you think, a language that we need to change universally? In terms of inclusion and acceptance of everyone as human?
Yeah, I think we're narrowing the margins of what we think is normal and what's acceptable. And I love that this conference, I think we're going to see a really stretching out of what is normal. You know, there is no such thing as normal. There's so much diversity and so much beauty and so much to learn from each other. And it's about celebrating diverseness and enabling difference rather than being afraid of it or shutting it down. Yeah.
After losing Evie, will you have more children, do you think?
No, I'm actually a carrier for this condition that she has. And so I made peace with that choice a number of years ago. And I now get to share her life and her lessons with thousands of people from all over the world through this work that I'm doing. So she's pretty close to me every day, which is a beautiful transcendence of parenthood, I guess, this new way of parenting. Yeah.
And I think that's becoming more common as well.
Yep.
You know, the acknowledgement of the lives that are miscarriages, of the babies that are with us for a short time, still being acknowledged and held in our community. And we're getting better at holding that space,
I think. I'm really glad about that. And this is another languaging thing as well. You know, I've heard of parents who they've had miscarriages, and then the health professionals have called it, you know, we've got to clear the debris away. Again, this is the language that we're dealing with. You know, this is not debris. This has been somebody's dream. Somebody's much wanted, loved child in many cases. So, yeah, a simple turn of phrase can change everything.
Rachel, great pleasure to talk to you this morning.
Thank you so much, Rachel.